Welcome. We're glad that you've joined us today at Central Assembly TV. I hope you've had a blessed Christmas season and have been able to enjoy time with loved ones, taking time to relax. As a child growing up, I was always disappointed to see Christmas go. It seemed as if December 1st, it infused everyone around me with joy, anticipation, and celebration, and hope. But as December 26th dawned, it was like life returned to its dull normal, and things were back to business as usual. It's like I wished we could hold on to that Christmas spirit just a little longer. If you've joined us today feeling a little the same, I want to encourage you that Christmas didn't end at the stroke of midnight on December 26th. Christmas isn't just one day relegated to the 25th of December every year. No, Christmas is actually 12 days. I think you've heard a song that tells us so. So although December 25th has come and gone, it's still Christmas because of Epiphany. Let me try and describe the feeling of Epiphany. Kids, all month long, you've waited in anticipation to discover what was in those wrapped packages under the tree. You've waited patiently, or if you were like me as a kid, impatiently, for the arrival of Christmas morning. And when that day finally came and you tore open the wrapping from those packages, you were filled with excitement. Look, I got one of these. I got what I've always wanted. The month of anticipation, it gave way to excitement and happiness over the gift you received. I remember on my 8th Christmas opening up my gifts. My twin brother and I couldn't help feeling a little disappointed. You see, we didn't get the gift we were hoping for, the G.I. Joe Headquarters Command Center. But just like Ralphie in A Christmas Story, my dad still had a gift in the waiting. My brother and I walked back to our room a little disappointed, but when we walked in, guess what was sitting on the floor? It was the G.I. Joe Headquarters Command Center. I mean, we were so super excited. And I'm sure you felt the same when you got that gift this year. You see, Christmas Day actually marked the beginning of new play and adventures that you would have in your room or in your backyard. Hours of fun playing with other friends in your neighborhood. And for the next several days, your whole world, every waking moment, revolved around enjoying this gift. You see, anticipation marks the mood of Advent leading up to Christmas, and is the time of focused celebration on the arrival of Christ. He's come. Epiphany is a focused time of celebration on the realization of that gift. He's the Son of God come to save all. Advent gives way to Epiphany. Advent begins on the fourth Sunday before Christmas and goes all the way to Christmas Eve. Christmas Day marks the beginning of the 12 days of Christmas leading up to Epiphany on January 6th. So while the hustle and bustle for many ends on Christmas, it ends on December 26th, throughout Christian history, Christmas lasts for 12 days, all the way to January 6th. The feast marking the end of Christmas is called Epiphany. It's celebrated uniquely all over the world. I mean, in Italy, children receive sweet treats and presents not on Christmas, but on the eve of Epiphany, January the 5th. Children in many parts of Latin America, the Philippines, Portugal, and Spain also receive their presents on Epiphany, also known as King's Day. In New Orleans and across the southeast region of the U.S., people enjoy King's Cake, which is decorated with colored sugar and contains that little figure of a baby or a token. Epiphany, which literally means appearance, it is to show or make known. It's that light bulb moment that we have when we've been struggling with a problem and trying to figure it out, and then all of a sudden the solution comes to mind. Epiphany, as it relates to Christ, is this idea that now I know who He is. He's not just a baby in a manger or some mere man. He's the Son of God, Savior of the world. There are several passages related to Epiphany in Scripture, but the one we're going to look at today is the coming of the Magi found in Matthew chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now notice it says, after Jesus was born. So this wasn't the night of the shepherds. This was someday, a later time. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, likely because he was threatened at the thought of this new king. And all of Jerusalem was disturbed as well. I mean, they were worried about Herod's wrath. Continuing in verse 4, "And when he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" We note here that Herod is a faker. He wasn't truly concerned with worshiping the new king. And I think if Buddy the Elf were there, he would say, "Herod, you sit on a throne of lies." Continuing in verse 6, "After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way." You see, the story of the Gentile Magi discovering the Jewish Messiah, it's a declaration of hope for all, that Jesus has come to save everyone. From the humble shepherds who worshiped him on the night of his birth, to the later arrival of these foreign Magi worshipers who come to worship the Christ child, the story of Christmas is one that includes the gift of salvation for all, not just for a certain few. In spite of all the trouble and hardships our world has experienced this year, there is a reason for Christmas to continue. And what better reason for Christmas to continue than the gift that has come for all? The ability to acquire this gift. It's not dependent on your income level, your social status, the size of your home, or how many cars you have in the driveway. It's only a matter of, will you receive it? So let me ask you a few questions today. What is your response to Epiphany? How do you feel about the news of a new king? You see, not everyone is excited about the news of this king. Just like Herod, some people felt threatened. You see, we're all comfortable with a cute baby in a manger. A baby possesses no threat to us. You know, our culture is comfortable with sweet baby Jesus. It's comfortable with a Jesus who imposes nothing on them, has no expectations. I mean, a baby in a manger is no threat to our dependence or our self-will. We can view the nativity scenes once a year and be like, "Oh, look at Jesus. Isn't he so cute and sweet lying there?" And then we can go on through life as business as usual. But when Epiphany comes, when we see Jesus for more than just a baby in a manger, when we see him for the person he came to be, a king who demands our allegiance and loyalty, and when we see him as king, the only appropriate response is the response of the Magi, to humbly come before Jesus and to give him a gift. I mean, the only gift we really have to give, the most precious thing we can present him. We give him our life. I mean, everything that we are, everything that we will be, it belongs to him. We pledge our allegiance to him. We lay aside our agenda and priorities, and we take up His. We go from trying to make a name for ourselves to making much of His name. So when we hear the news of this king, do we feel threatened like Herod, or do we welcome and worship him like the Magi? Will Jesus continue to be a threat to our independence, our agenda, our will, or will he become the source from which we live life, love and relate to others? Will he be our reason for being? Will we continue to cling to death, or will we receive his life? When Epiphany truly comes, we will welcome Jesus as King. Next, let me ask, what will you do with Jesus this year? When you know who Jesus is, you have to make a decision. And what will you do with the gift of Christmas? You see, there is a difference between making the decision and living the decision. I mean, how many children do you think asked for a puppy for Christmas this year? How many parents are already regretting the decision to get a puppy for Christmas? I mean, as many of you know, it's easy to make the decision to get a puppy, but it's entirely another matter to live out that decision and daily care for the puppy. I mean, it's one thing to dream the dream, but then we've got to live the dream. Lastly, let me ask, will you become bored with Jesus in 2021? Or will you remain committed to Him? I mean, will we treat Him as one of those gifts that is easily or quickly discarded? You see, even the greatest gift we could receive for Christmas, it requires something from us. I mean, it requires some level of participation, energy, effort, and curiosity. I mean, my G.I. Joe Headquarters Command Center, it wasn't going to play itself. Some toys, they require us to be hands-on, to pick it up and play with it. May we not dismiss Jesus, become bored with Him, or discard Him this coming year. May we cherish Him and the gift that He is to us, and remember that He is also the greatest gift for all. If you would like to respond, as the Magi did, to the gift of this news that Jesus is King, we have pastors available who would love to chat with you and pray for you. If you're needing prayer or would like information on how to get connected and involved in 2021, click the button at the bottom of your screen. Pray with me today. Jesus, we thank you for coming. We thank you for coming humbly as a baby in a manger. But Lord, we acknowledge today that you did not come just as a baby in a manger. You came to be King, King over our lives, King who would come to save and rescue us, not from things necessarily external or outside of us, but from ourselves, from the sin that is within that destroys us and the relationships that we have. Father, we thank you for coming and restoring us to you. Thank you for restoring us to ourselves and to one another. For those that may be watching online today, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them, that you would reveal to them that there would be a moment of epiphany, that they would see Jesus for who he is, and just as the Magi did, that they would humbly bow and worship him and give him the greatest gift they could ever give, the gift of their lives. Lord, bless us this Christmas season. As we approach 2021, we pray that we would go into it with all the energy, enthusiasm, living out your purpose in our world. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for this time shared together today, and we pray in your name. Amen.